of realtors.
Hi, Frank. Here's something that only people who bank at First Community Credit Union would know. When the Cardinals have a home game, the popcorn, the free, fresh popcorn at First Community Credit Union is red. Red popcorn. How about that? Still tastes the same. Still good. And you're probably not going to go and change where you do your banking just because there's popcorn. Even though there's red popcorn when the Cardinals play a home game, that's not enough. That's not enough. You need to know about rates, and you need to be convinced they're competitive. You need to know that the service is better than where you bank now. Otherwise, what would be the reason for changing? I think you're going to find it is. I think you're going to find that when you are banking at a place that is owned by the customers, and that's the case with First Community Credit Union, it makes a difference. A difference that you can see in all kinds of areas. So you're banking somewhere now. Unless you have a really good reason for staying at that bank, I invite you to join us and bank where we all of us on the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, do all our banking. And that is First Community Credit Union. You can find out more by just stopping in, grab some popcorn, get some literature, say hello, tell them your AM and the PM, or go to their website, firstcommunity.com.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This is not a best-of show. This is live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the slackers here take time off when there is a holiday weekend or extended holiday weekend. Not us on the Friday crew. No, we're... Oh, wait a second. The rest of the Friday crew is off. I'm here, though. I'm Paul Harris. Joe Hipperson's here, too. And Dan and Ian are the slackers I'm talking about. They're taking the day off. They'll be back here with Frank on Monday. In the meantime, Josh and Tim are working in the background here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Auric. 7 stores in the St. Louis area, all of them locally owned, locally operated. You can stop in and find the best vacuum cleaner you've ever had, or look through what they have available on their website, O-R-E-C-K, auric.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes! Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Joe. Happy 5th of July.
Yes, Paul Harris, it's great to see you live on the 5th of July.
Why do we not say that for any other day of the year? Hey, happy April 9th.
Yeah, it's true. It would be kind of bizarre, though, if I just kind of walked
it
up
would.
To you. Hey, August 3rd, man. What's up? Which is, it's like the people that do the Happy New Year way too late. You know what I mean? I mean, do you ever Happy New Year, anybody, outside of, you know, January 1st or 2nd?
I actually am very, very bad about it. I will say it to people almost 2 weeks into the year. If I haven't seen them thus far that year, I will say it. I won't say it on the radio. Like if I was filling in for McGraw, let's say, on January 14th and doing his show, I wouldn't say, hey, Happy New Year. It's January 14th. I wouldn't do that. But if I hadn't seen you for a couple of weeks since the previous year, I probably, you know... Outside of here, I would Happy New Year you, yes.
See, it's a weird thing. So I always do it as a question, right? So if it's, middle of January, I'll be like, hey, Paul, hey, did you have a good New Year?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a stupid question because the year just began anyway.
It's way too early to tell.
Did you have a good New Year? Well, it's like 14 days in.
Hey, before we get into this week's movie reviews, do you remember the movie War Games?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Joshua, do you want to play a game? Yes.
Not just do you want to play a game.
Do you want to?
No, it's not do.
Oh,
it's shall.
Shall we play a game?
Ooh, that was in stereo.
Shall we play a game?
Yay.
Oh. I think I missed them.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Would each of you prefer a good game or chess?
Later. Let's play. Global thermonuclear war.
Fine.
All right.
That would be 30 years old, that movie. 1983, Matthew Broderick and Ally Sheedy. The reason I bring it up in your segment is because the computer that we just heard there that he's typing on is for sale.
That actual computer.
It's owned by a guy named Todd Fisher, who owned the computer and lent it to John Badham and the people making the movie as a prop. It's an 8080 computer. 1983, computers were so basic compared to what you have today.
And huge. massive in size.
No, no. Well, yes, they were, but they were desktop computers. I bought my first desktop PC.
It was all one piece.
No, no, no. I got my first one in January of '86, so 3 years after this. The one that they had in the movie, Todd Fisher, who's now selling it, says they added a lot of dummy boards and cables to make it look like they give it the illusion of greater computing power and resources. They wanted to boost the screen effect. But he actually had it as a desktop computer, and his 8080 computer and keyboard and the noisy modem, because in those days you didn't have DSL. You had dial-up with that noisy, anybody who had AOL or even before that with CompuServe, which is what I had, you had that noisy...
Yes, if you could take nails on connection. A chalkboard and add a frequency to it, that's what it sounds like.
It took 8 to 10 seconds for it to connect and make what was called the handshake. Fisher, the guy who owns it, says he took great pride in having contributed to that scene in which Matthew Broderick's character inserted a floppy disk into an original 8-inch floppy drive to initiate the war dialing sequence that connects with the Whopper. That's the computer at NORAD that starts the whole plot of the movie. Anyway, how much do you think this prop from that movie 30 years ago would go for now? How much do you think he wants for this?
I'll bet he wants $25,000.
That's exactly what he wants.
Really?
$25,000. That's what he says that right now he thinks that that would be the value of those things if you were to buy it on the market. In which case, I would say to him, yeah, but yours is a movie prop.
Right. It's not even functional, right?
He says that all the parts of it still work.
Yeah, but what would you do?
What would you connect it? You can't connect it to anything. I don't know.
Well, but what are you going to do? You're going to display it in your home?
He says, with the exception of the dual disk drive, all the props are still in working condition. But I think it's one of those things that you would have in your house, and you go, hey, you know what this is? And you tell the story, and then 4 seconds later, people go, all right, what do you got to drink?
Yeah, no kidding.
You guys are movie guys. Are there really that big of War Games fans out there that would pay for this?
Yes. I don't know about War Games fans that would have $25,000 to drop on that, but I think there's a lot of fans of the movie War Games.
If you were to put this in a display at a Planet Hollywood restaurant, it would be one of the cooler displays, and I think people would go up to that and they would remember seeing it, and you could play that scene that we just played the audio from. You could play it over and over again, and people would remember that. It's kind of an iconic movie from that era, isn't it?
No, it definitely is, and it featured Dabney Coleman. I remember as a kid thinking Dabney Coleman was really cool. I have no idea why. I think it has something to do with that movie. Also, it is a great example of Ally Sheedy's hotness.
Mm-hmm.
Before, what was it, Josh, 13 walls or 14 walls that she went straight up against? I mean, for real.
That's not entirely fair.
It is fair. Ally Sheedy lost a significant amount of hotness, and I can't figure out at what point did it begin.
I don't know.
I think there was a really bad Cujo ripoff called Man's Best Friend. Mm-hmm. And she was in that movie. I think it was a St. Bernard that goes completely crazy. She might have maybe gotten mauled by one of the props. I'm really not sure. But
did her career go first, or did her looks? I mean, I could just assume it was her looks and then her career, but, you know, maybe one has to do with the other.
I can't think of one great example outside of The Breakfast Club when she's really opening up about herself of her having any kind of dynamic acting range.
No.
She was just always the pretty girl.
I can't think of any other movies than the two you just named.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Okay.
Short Circuit.
Whoa. She was in Short Circuit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. I just remember there was a really funny Indian guy in Gutenberg.
And Johnny Five.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
And
Johnny Five. You know they're going to redo War Games, right?
Made to order.
They're redoing. Would you know that? That's on the reboot plot right now.
Short Circuit?
War Games.
Oh, War Games.
Yeah, but I still think, even though the special effects, if you want to call them special effects, are way dated, I've shown that movie to my kids, and they got way into it because Ferris Bueller was in the movie.
Exactly.
You get your kids hooked on Ferris Bueller, they'll watch anything with Matthew Broderick. My oldest son is convinced The Tower Heist is a genius film because it has Matthew Broderick in it.
I would agree with you about the relationship between those two movies. And my daughter liked War Games, too. As I've told you, I've tried to, in the summertime, she's a teenage girl, and I try to watch classic movies with her, and sometimes you get these schlocky movies from the 70s and 80s. In fact, after we get through the new movies for this weekend, I'll tell you about a couple that I've showed her recently from that era, and Some were good, some were not so good, but War Games was one that she definitely enjoyed.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than the black hole effect. You know, the black hole was a movie that a lot of people saw way, way back in the day, and you convince yourself it's genius. You go back and watch it, and you get a flick. My worst experience ever of convincing myself that as a kid, I saw this amazing movie. And then finally, when I was getting my own movie collection, I found it on VHS. And I was so stoked, man. It was The Last Starfighter, one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life. But as a kid, I thought this was like Star Wars on speed. I thought it was amazing. Nothing about The Last Starfighter holds up. Nothing
at all.
No, there's the one creepy part. I remember when there's some kind of a weird reanimation thing going on with the main guy in this trailer park, and somebody moves over one of the covers, and it looks like the guy whose face melts at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
That scared me like you couldn't believe as a kid. Pathetic. It looks like a mannequin somebody put in a microwave. I've rewatched it more than once just to prove my point.
Yeah.
Ludicrous as far as anything that's just terribly bad. The Last Starfighter, avoid.
All right. This weekend's big movie is?
The Lone Ranger. Starring Armie Hammer. Armie? Armie Hammer, the guy who played the twins in Social Network.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got that. And, of course, yes, Johnny Depp is Tonto. Before I begin, let's spin a clip, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Just give you a little example before I jump into this.
We need to set the clip up?
Well, we all know the Lone Ranger is, brilliantly masked by just covering his eyes. Nobody can figure out who he was.
Clark Kent with glasses.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Here's where we discover the reason or the inspiration on the eyes.
My brother's dress.
Eyes cut by the bullets that killed him. From the great beyond, he will protect you and the ones you love.
You want me to wear a mask?
The men you seek think you are dead, Kimosabe. Better to stay that way.
Okay, let's just say this right now.
Please.
If you were to gather 20 people in a room, 20 men, and put them in a room and said, we want you to talk like Tonto from The Lone Ranger, that's what the imitations would sound like, and they'd all be bad imitations, just like Johnny Depp is doing there.
Yes, they'd all speak just like William Shatner. I mean, really.
That's right. It's from the Shatner School of Acting.
It is. It's a very breathy William Shatner type impression. And once you get that in your head, you can't get anything else out of you. I mean, that's all you hear and see.
And the visual looks like it's Captain Jack Sparrow doing Tonto.
It looks like Captain Jack Sparrow in drag is what it looks like. Because he's got, you know.
I think that's redundant.
Well, okay. a bit vampy, I guess, is Captain Jack Sparrow. But there's so many different directions. I mean, for the first time ever, man, I've notes all over the place. Usually you note it up really well, and I just kind of fly from the hip. But, man, so many little things I have to just bring up real quick. Johnny Depp does commit to the character of Tonto.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not always a good thing with Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Mad Hatter or Willy Wonka. When he commits, he goes all the way. And I think ever since Jack Sparrow, ever since Pirates of the Caribbean, no producer is going to say no to Johnny Depp. Because once they see where he's going, if you remember, everybody on the set of Pirates of the Caribbean, the very first one, they were all convinced this was going to be a big flop. I mean, they've interviewed Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, who all thought this was just going to be a huge disappointment to everyone because nobody knew what the heck Johnny Depp was up to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of producers were all shaky. They're all nervous. Once it hit, and it was massive, Johnny Depp has a get-out-of-jail-free card to any role he wants to commit to. Unfortunately, Tonto is one of them. For the first 30 minutes, man, this movie is mildly entertaining. Tonto is very... what's the right way to say this? He's very influenced by what he smokes, okay? So, well, he is. And it becomes kind of funny, and it's interesting until it just becomes this weird shtick. And the whole time, you just see Johnny Depp going further and further down this rabbit hole that there's no way to get out of. And yes, that is a kind of reference towards Mad Hatter. I'm just putting that one out there.
Mm-hmm.
Helena Bonham Carter shows up. She's in the movie, and it looks like...
Wait a second. Is this a Tim Burton movie?
I've got it right here. Helena Bonham Carter lifted out of a caricature of her in every single Tim Burton movie. That's exactly what she is in this, man. It's a little... Okay. The Lone Ranger is played by Armie Hammer, all right? The Lone Ranger... He comes off more comedic than heroic. In fact, it looks like two bumbling idiots with Tonto and the Lone Ranger trying to, you know, fight bad guys. The only weird bit here that I didn't expect is one of the henchmen, one of the other bad guys, played by William Finchner. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm sure I'd recognize him. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, remember at the beginning of the...
He's probably one of those actors where you go, oh, I know that guy.
Right. He just recently signed the dotted line. He's going to be Shredder in the reimagining of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was the guy in The Dark Knight who, at the very beginning, bank robbery... He was the guy with the shotgun who was shooting the Joker's henchman.
Okay.
A bank employee that just, you know, goes crazy with a gun.
I remember him.
All right. So now you know who I'm talking about. He plays a bad guy who has a, I guess, hunger for human flesh. And in this movie, this kids marketed movie, literally starts eating a human heart.
Lovely.
Just a little bit extreme. Now, I'm not trying
By the way, Temple of Doom called. It wants its plot back.
There you go. I'm not trying to be a prude about the movie or anything. Temple of Doom, ripping out the heart, kind of crazy, still scares kids to this day.
That movie is responsible for the PG-13 rating.
And the very first PG-13 film was?
I don't know.
Red Dawn.
Okay.
That was the first one.
Nice piece of trivia.
Thank you very much. You know what's brilliant? What's just crazy? Jaws is still rated PG. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. All right, so... Here's the deal. They keep trying to tell you that this movie, The Lone Ranger, brought to you by the people that did Pirates of the Caribbean. I've never seen a movie whose trailers have the logo of another film in it more than like a Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean is all over the marketing to this. It's more like the guys that unfortunately brought you Pirates of the Caribbean Part 2 brought you this movie. It's lost in itself. It doesn't know what kind of film it wants to be. It's a Western. Westerns should not include CGI. They just shouldn't.
Right.
You should see.
As Cowboys and Aliens proved.
No kidding. I want to see dust. I don't want to see digital dust.
Yep.
This movie has a lot of.
Westerns are supposed to be about cowboys.
Yes.
Characters and grudges.
Oh, yeah.
Those three things, and you have a Western, a good cowboy movie.
Open Range. Kevin Costner, mm-hmm. Open Range. Awesome Western movie. You know, in the last 10 years or so. Some of the biggest Westerns have been remakes anyway. There's no original good Westerns. We had True Grit, the remake.
Yeah,
310 to Yuma,
terrible.
The remake. Exactly. So
has not been a good Western since The Unforgiven.
Tombstone was pretty good.
That was before The Unforgiven.
Right, okay. But Tombstone, to me, is a Wyatt Earp tale done in an MTV type way. Because in the same year, again, we've gone back to this, we had Wyatt Earp, the Kevin Costner version. Which, unfortunately, did not have Val Kilmer playing Doc Holliday. Otherwise, that would have been a superior film. Because, I mean, you forget, man, Val Kilmer, nowadays he just looks like a beanbag. But, I mean, back in the day, that guy was beyond an amazing actor.
Yep.
That Doc Holliday role, man, that's it on a stick. So, there's a lot of trains and CGI in this movie. And I say a lot of trains because there really are way too many chases with trains. After about the 25 to 30 minute mark, there's a giant, huge... way too long train wreck. And I believe at that moment, that's kind of where the movie also derails. All right. So from that point on, you have been warned that this movie is very long. And if you don't get into the Tonto done by Johnny Depp,
mm-hmm.
you're going to really hate the film. And this is not a star making vehicle for Armie Hammer either. I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, this will be the one.
Yeah.
This will make him, you know, everybody. I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's first name. He's not going to be a huge
guy. Not
going to
be a leading man because of this?
This is a 4 out of 10 film.
Wow.
I never really got into The Lone Ranger as a kid. That is not why I'm not into it right now. I'm a big fan of the tentpole blockbuster. I'm a big fan of, you know, Bruckheimer craziness and all that stuff. This is really just a very pathetic attempt. That's all I can say.
Does at any point, does the Lone Ranger character, played by Armie Hammer, does he ever turn to Tonto and say, let me explain the word lone to you? Does that ever come up?
No, it doesn't, but you know what?
Lone means I got this by myself.
You know, if they actually had that part pop up, that would have been actually very funny. I would have laughed at that.
If you call the movie A Ranger and an Indian... Now you got a movie that you can understand what's going on here. But the word, this always bothered me back in the old days when Jay Silverheels was Tonto on TV and Clayton Moore was the man with the mask. Lone. The word lone is right in there.
Yeah, even with his horse, if you think about it, he should just be a dude walking the desert with a gun and a badge. That's really it. But, I mean, I never really looked at it that way. You're right. It is the Lone Ranger, but this movie is no different than 1989, Batman. They should have just called it The Joker. This mm-hmm. movie should be called...
Tonto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 out of 10. Very disappointing.
Okay, what else is opening this weekend?
Well, there's Despicable Me 2, which they should have just pumped out straight to DVD. I've read nothing good about that film whatsoever.
Probably going to do better than The Lone Ranger, though, because they'll probably get the family audience, right?
I believe so, and I think if enough people, I would imagine some parents have to go on IMDb and do the kid thing with that. Once you read the line about a guy eating a human heart, more than likely Despicable Me 2 will be the choice. Plus, it's a lot shorter, and the kids will actually enjoy it and probably understand what the heck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my guess.
All right. On the DVD front, I know earlier in the week you already talked about the new DVDs that are coming out for this week. So let me just mention some that I have watched recently, a couple of which I showed to my daughter. And one was what I consider to be one of the all-time classics, probably in my top 25 of all time, Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
It's a movie that you have to be in the right mood to see, and I had not seen it since I originally saw it.
No way. You've never revisited that
movie? I've never gone back to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So we're talking over 30 years since I saw that movie. And for those of you who don't know, Nicholson, who was at the peak of his acting ability, not his stardom, not the, oh my God, is Jack Nicholson the Lakers guy and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm talking about when he was doing great work as an actor. He plays a guy by the name of R.P. McMurphy, Randall McMurphy, who is placed into a mental institution. He's been arrested for something, and he's been faking mental illness so that he can get into this asylum because he thinks that'll be easier than spending time in prison. And he gets in there and he finds a bunch of absolute misfits who are guys with serious mental health problems and mild mental health problems and everywhere on the spectrum. And a nurse who runs the ward that he has put in by the name of Nurse Ratched, who, you know, we've talked so many times about great villains making a movie. Nurse Ratched makes that movie.
Well, she gives you this sense of fear that your title character, McMurphy, doesn't really understand to what length or extreme she'll go.
Yes.
But we figured out pretty darn soon,
yep,
just from her presence. And what I love about revisiting One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you forget the actors responsible for a lot of small minor roles in that movie.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Plays Martini in the movie. And there are a lot of other character actors in there who you will recognize from many, many things since then.
Well, I got Christopher Lloyd, too. You got Doc Brown in that movie.
Christopher Lloyd is in there. That's right. It is a four-star movie. If you've never seen it, go back and see it. It may seem a little bit like a period piece, but I don't mean that they're dressed up in a different way. But I think you can also see it in absolutely contemporary terms and enjoy it that way. And Nicholson and Louise Fletcher as Nurse Ratched, both won Oscars for the role. The movie won an Oscar. I think Milos Forman directed the movie.
Yes. Yes, he did.
I think he won the Oscar that year. It is one of those that just deserves every bit of credit it has ever gotten.
Now, did you bring this up on purpose because McMurphy had an Indian buddy and we just did Lone Ranger, or was that accidental?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I will say that McMurphy's character at no point was called the Lone Crazy Man.
This is very true. And if you find someone that is a big fan of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I don't know why, but you just be really quiet for a minute and just say, Juicy Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
That's it.
Was Louise Fletcher ever able to be in anything else after that?
She made some other movies, but she was never able to take the success that she had in that movie.
No, and romantic comedies, right?
No, none.
Yeah. My blood is boiling just at the thought of her face. Just the movie, the role that she was in.
Mm-hmm.
You hate her.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her.
Yeah.
No, and you know what? If you ever catch like a top 10 or top 20 villain list, if she's not on there, then the list is...
Correct. Not valid. Even,
right, yeah, exactly.
You're absolutely right. The other one that I showed her was from about the same era, Private Benjamin, a comedy starring Goldie Hawn as a spoiled woman in her late 20s who is a daddy's girl, big time. The movie starts with her marrying Albert Brooks' character, and then they have their honeymoon night, and he dies on top of her. I don't want to go into the graphic details of the whole thing. I will just tell you, watching that scene with my teenage daughter was a little bit uncomfortable for both of us.
Ooh.
But from that point on, she has to get her act together, and through a series of semi-ridiculous plot twist, she ends up joining the army. And it's when she goes off to the army that the hijinks begin. And it's pretty funny there. And Eileen Brennan, as the female commanding officer of her platoon in training camp, at boot camp, is hysterically funny. And the movie, again, much more than Cuckoo's Nest, Private Benjamin will seem dated to you when you see it, because you see how they dress and how they look and how they talk. It will seem dated, but I think that's a movie that stands the test of time because of the simple concepts in there, and because Goldie Hawn was, like Nicholson in Cuckoo's Nest, Goldie Hawn was at the height of her acting ability in that movie.
I've never heard Private Benjamin and Cuckoo's Nest somehow compared to each other like that. It's interesting. And
well, also, one is a very serious drama, and the other one is a lightweight comedy, but both very, very well done.
I was not a huge fan of the Private Benjamin TV show.
Oh,
I know
terrible.
They did that. But
terrible.
That one, the lady, the girl, Eileen or whatever, she
Eileen
actually,
Brennan.
She carried over. She did the role on the TV show
did
as well.
She?
Yeah, she, and... Wow, okay, let me ask you this. As far as Private Benjamin is concerned,
yeah.
Which is the better film with a similar concept?
Stripes,
or Private Benjamin?
No question.
Good. Just making sure.
My daughter actually said about halfway through Private Benjamin, "Dad, this is a lot like Stripes, isn't it?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, but instead of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis and guys going off in the military and John Candy, you got Goldie Hawn, who pretty much carries the whole movie because it's really about her character more than anything else. But there are other people in there who you'll recognize as well. Mary Kay Plays.
And I just had a phone call that Michael Douglas, he directed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, he produced it.
Okay.
Interesting backstory on that. Cuckoo's Nest was originally a Broadway play. And Kirk Douglas, his father, played McMurphy on stage on Broadway.
Really?
And then they wanted to make it into a movie, and it became a battle over the rights to the movie. And by the time the movie was going to be made, Kirk Douglas was deemed too old to play the role of McMurphy. And so the movie was canned for several years until Michael Douglas finally bought the rights to it and had to go to his father and say, "Dad, I'm making the movie, and you're still not going to be in it."
Yeah. You know, what's cool,
interesting.
What's cool about that is if you show, you know, Cuckoo's Nest to somebody who's never seen it before, I know it's a stretch, but you could probably convince somebody that that's Christian Slater, the way that Jack Nicholson acts. I mean, that is, first off, Christian Slater doesn't have much of an acting career to brag about. But as far as an impersonation of Jack Nicholson, that's how he made his career anyway. Christian Slater, I've never caught it. I've always wanted to. Has gone and toured doing Cuckoo's Nest on stage.
Really?
Which I think would be awesome to see.
I'd rather see the movie, because Nicholson was so damn good in it.
Yes, he was.
All right, two other movies that I watched recently, not that I've shown to my daughter. One of them I watched, even though you dissed it so much on this show.
Uh-oh.
I had to see it because it stars Christopher Walken, Al Pacino, and Alan Arkin.
Okay, stand-up guys?
The movie's called The Stand-Up Guys. And you, on this show, hated this movie. And I'm here to tell you, Joe, now that I've seen it,
yes,
I hated this movie.
Well, look at us.
So much so that I didn't even finish it. I think I got about 45 minutes in, and I said to my wife, "This is just too much."
Well, you couldn't have looked at her and said, "Joe Hipperson was right."
I did, actually.
Oh, well,
I told
that.
You that.
Nice.
Yeah.
With two peas in a pod, you and I. That movie is just, what was the one thing that you couldn't stand the most?
That it was, well, first of all, the Viagra stuff towards the beginning with Al Pacino was absolutely ridiculous. But also, Pacino, of course, overacted, and Walken underacted so
weird?
Much. In many scenes, he's just sitting there watching Pacino eat the scenery.
Yeah, he's just deadpan. Christopher Walken needs to be a little bit jolted.
Yes.
He needs a little bit of the, you know, because he's got that Shatner school of acting. He's got that way of doing what he does. It was like watching like the movie Man on Fire. Really good Denzel Washington movie. You got Christopher Walken in it.
Yep.
And the whole time he's just kind of sitting in a room, not really doing anything.
Yep.
That's what you got out of this movie. And it, the ludicrous shootout, I don't know if you got to it.
I didn't get to it.
Good. Very good.
Do not rent or download The Stand-Up Guys. 0 out of 10 for that one. And the other movie I watched was The Impossible, which is about the tsunami.
Oh, yeah.
That
with Ewan
hit
McGregor,
Thailand.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's got Ewan McGregor and, oh, now I can't remember, Naomi Watts.
Yes.
Who, she is phenomenal in this movie. She was nominated, wasn't she, for an Academy Award?
I believe she was, yes.
I think she was, too. The CGI of the wave hitting the island is remarkably realistic. Yeah, I mean, I actually did not think to myself, wow, that's good computer graphics. I thought, wow, that's really scary, which is what you want. And I was really caught up in the story of not just her and her kids and her husband, and they're all separated and they have to find each other, but the conditions that these people had to go through after the tsunami to find each other and to meet other people who were affected by this. I really felt like I was drawn into the real life stories of people who were in the midst of that horror.
No, right. I'll tell you what. I mean, they do such a great job at really just dropping you in the middle of that disaster. I think I must have gone through half a bottle of Germex just watching it. I mean, because you get that feeling like, oh, my gosh, man. I mean, just one little scrape, and you might as well just call yourself the plague, you know? I mean, it was done very well. And, you know, Roland Emmerich, on his very best day, making yet another cookie-cutter disaster movie, could never, ever nail the devastating blow of that wave. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we've seen how many just cheesy Day After Tomorrow waves hitting New York City and whatnot. This blows away anything I've ever seen as far as the way a disaster like that would really look if you were right there.
Absolutely. The guy who directed it, never heard of him before, Juan Antonio Bayona. I don't know. I've never seen anything else he's done, but he really, really impressed me with this. I would definitely recommend it. 8 out of 10 for The Impossible.
Would you agree that it's almost like the actual hit, the actual wave, they almost underplayed it? They almost Christopher Walken did a bit? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't really make it.
Well, you know what they didn't do? They didn't show it starting to form out in the ocean.
Exactly.
And now it's getting bigger. Boom. And now it's coming. And the people don't know it's coming.
Right.
All you see is these people are at this luxurious, beautiful resort. And then all of a sudden, they turn around and, what's that sound? Hey, the trees are falling down. Hey, there's water everywhere. And it comes in. I mean, you don't get the suspense of the buildup. You just see the impact as if you were there.
Right. And I don't mean to be cheesy or disrespectful or anything when I make this kind of statement, but as much as I can't stand and detest all the use of 3D, it's almost as if you're seeing it in 3D when it comes straight at you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's done very, very well. I'm not saying it's like a hokey gimmick or anything, and a film like that they would never release in 3D, but that, to me, looked more three-dimensional than anything else I've seen with the silly glasses on.
Absolutely. I give it a very strong recommendation. All right. Any other movie stuff we have to get to?
I've got nothing, man.
Let's go to the nightclubs, then.
All right. If you want to see a concert or two... And, wow, man, I think maybe, is there an allergy thing going on, Josh? I mean, I'm getting really scratchy in the voice here.
Maybe for you, yeah.
Oh, okay, good, thank you. Just wanted to make sure I was, you know.
I think we're all fine
time,
here.
Time to visit the Quill Factory.
Maybe for you.
Day and nigh, I suggest strongly the Quill Factory.
The Quill Factory?
Yes.
Okay. All right, here we go. Concerts tonight. Grind, a tribute to Alice in Chains, will be at Pops. The Half Knots will be at the Heavy Anchor. The Gills at Plush. Audrey and Aaron at the Old Rock House. Tatanka playing at Firebird. The Hobo Sexuals are at the Off-Broadway. Hype Squad playing at FUBAR. Connor Christian and the Southern Gothic are playing the demo. Hoosier Daddies at Fast Eddie's. There's really no way I can say this, but I'm thinking I could do it right. There's a band playing at the Gramophone tonight, and they are called F-Word Monster. So, there you go. Mark and the Get Set Goes are playing at Lemons. Billy Brown at the Blank Space. Fast Code at the Crack Fox. The Quaaludes at the Way Out Club. New Orleans Suspects at the Broadway Oyster Bar. The Living Deads are playing Ye Ol' Haunt. Tomorrow night, we got Hung Like
Don't forget, tonight, Brett Michaels at Fair St. Louis.
Oh,
the only time I'm ever going to mention anybody from Poison on the show. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you very much, Paul. Saturday, tomorrow, Hung Like a Martyr will be playing at Pops. The Reptilian is at the Radskeller. Paul Bone is over at Hammerstones, the Funky Butt Brass Band at Broadway Oyster Bar. Boo Boo Davis and the Blues All-Stars playing at BB's Jazz Blues and Soups. Spelling Bee on stage at CBGB's. The Timmies are at Lemons. The Homewreckers at the Heavy Anchor. Bullet Pop playing Schlafly Tap Room. Brass Knuckle Boys at Cicero's. Bow Wow Wow, playing over at FUBAR.
Bow Wow Wow.
Bow Wow Wow.
You mean the 80s band Bow Wow Wow with the 16-year-old lead singer who's now got to be in his close to 40?
That is exactly what I mean, my friend. Bow Wow Wow is playing tonight at FUBAR. And Vaudeville at the Firebird, Another White Submarine playing at Plush tomorrow night. And last but not least, here we go. Time for... me to give you 5 concerts. 4 are absolutely real. 1 is completely made up. Are we ready to play?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
The Incurables, Saturday at Off-Broadway. Pass a Fire, Friday at the Firebird. Trauma Harness, Friday at Foam Coffee and Beer. Flower Bed Head, Saturday at Foo Bar, and the Blackfoot Gypsies Friday at Plush.
We're going to let Tim Weiland go first today.
Let's go Trauma Harness.
Okay. Josh?
Flower Bedhead.
Okay. I'm going to go Pacifier.
And the winner would be the brilliant Josh. Excellent.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Josh.
Flower Bedhead, absolutely made up, but you can take it if you want. Just give me credit in the liner notes. Pacifier, that's brilliant, man. I mean,
I like
to
that.
The band, seriously. I mean,
yeah.
They spell it Pacifire.
That's good.
Very well done. I will talk to you guys next week. Joe Hipperson, Big 550 KTRS, Hip on Entertainment.
Thank you, Joe. Nice
see you,
job,
Joe.
As always. Joe is brought to you every week here on KTRS by Oric. 7 stores in the St. Louis area, all locally owned and operated. And online at Oric, O-R-E-C-K.com.
Well, it looks like we've got our first accident this afternoon. It's on the ramp from eastbound 270 at 367. And boy, traffic is jamming up through the Halls Ferries approaching 367. You do have some heavier traffic now on westbound 70, I should say, between 367 and Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Everything else is pretty light. You're a little bit heavier, though, coming in on for baseball traffic on eastbound 64 between 170 and Big Bend, and downtown westbound 5570 is slow on the Poplar Street Bridge, and that's due to the air show that's going on at Fair St. Louis. And this traffic report is brought to you by Sonic. Sonic's Summer Pretzel Dog is a delicious twist on Summer Classic. They took a premium beef hot dog, and then they put it on in a soft pretzel bun. Top yours with melty cheese sauce and bacon or yellow mustard. Try one, dog. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
New Quaker State Defy motor oil stops up to 98% of future engine wear based on the industry standard sequence 4A wear test. Learn more at QuakerState.com.
Bob and Sarah had an affliction.
How to decorate our home
so it reflects us.
They were suffering from decoratophobia, the fear of making a decorating boo-boo.
So we kept what came with the house.
Hunter green carpeting and mauve walls from the 80s.
They flipped through decorating magazines and watched decorating shows, but couldn't escape their decoratophobia. Sarah then made a bold decision.
I went to Reinecke Decorating Center.
Smart move, because family-owned Reinecke is the home of Benjamin Moore paints. If you don't see your color in one of over 3,000 Benjamin Moore paint colors, bring your color choice in and Reinecke will match it. Unlike the big box stores, the majority of Reinecke staff members have over 20 years of experience in paint and decorating. And at the DePere location, Reinecke's decorators can help you choose the right color palette, wall coverings, and blinds. Family-owned Reinecke Decorating Centers. With 2 locations on Manchester Road in the Bear and in Brentwood, Reinecke Decorating Centers, the home of Benjamin Moore Paints, is the cure for decoratophobia.
Goodbye, Mauve and Hunter Green Carpeting.
What is the pool life? Is it a place in the sun, a state of mind, a vision of relaxing poolside summer perfection? It's all this and more. What is the pool life? Is it days filled with warm sun and cool water? Is it a refreshing new idea? Is it an oasis in the desert of pool maintenance confusion? It's all this and more. Pool Life is a comprehensive collection of quality pool care products and systems. The ultimate combination of high performance and low hassle, Pool Life gives your pool a brilliant clean like you've never seen. And it's only at fine professional pool dealers like Mr. B's Pool Centers in St. Peter's and Afton. Give your pool the life it deserves. Give yourself a break from more complicated, less effective systems. Give yourself permission to live the pool life. Visit your authorized Pool Life dealer today. Mr. B's Pool Centers, with 2 locations to serve you in St. Peter's or Afton. Go to mrbspools.com. Mr. B's Pool Centers, where your family fun is our family business. So you ask, what exactly is Broadway Ford Truck Centers? Broadway Ford Truck Centers is a full-line Ford truck store. Not only will you find Ford commercial vehicles at Broadway Ford Truck Centers, you'll find a full line of truck and SUVs for personal use. Broadway Ford Truck Centers has any vehicle you might need for your business. Unlike others who will sell you what they think you want, Broadway Ford Truck Centers will take the time to look at your business, what the truck will be doing for you to make sure that it'll do the job you need it to do. Broadway Ford Truck Centers is a Ford
Business Network preferred dealer. Well, that means they're trained specifically to sell and service Ford commercial vehicles. Bottom line, Broadway Ford Truck Centers has the trucks that are the solution to your unique business needs. Stop by Broadway Ford Truck Centers at 1506 South 7th in the Soulard Market area, or check them out on the web at BroadwayTruck.com.
When R&R Sanitation says they'll drop off a porta potty anywhere in the region, they're not kidding. They once dropped off a porta potty on the corner of a parade route. That's what you get with R&R Sanitation. Service, reliability, dependability. They're clean and they're bigger, which makes them cleaner longer, which means you don't spend as much money servicing them. R&R Sanitation, St. Louis owned, St. Louis operated. They're the best. Having some work done on the house? Are you in charge of a charitable event? Maybe a construction firm? The point is, R&R Sanitation porta potties, 314-776-4000. They're bigger, they're better, and they're made better, which means they're better porta potties. And I know you're laughing. Really? Is he selling porta potties? Yes, I am, because there's nothing worse than having a bad porta potty. That's why you need R&R Sanitation, 314-776-4000, or rnrportabletoilets.com. They want your stinking business. R&R Sanitation.
Enjoy an afternoon of fine wine and relaxation at Sugar Creek Winery in nearby Defiance, Missouri, just off Highway 94. On weekends, you'll find live music out on the terrace. Sugar Creek Winery also offers a selection of cheeses, sausages, and snacks to complement your wine experience. Visit their gift shop for souvenir glasses, wine racks, and other wine accessories. Becky, Ken, and Chris invite you to spend a relaxing afternoon at Sugar Creek Winery in St. Charles County. See their website at sugarcreekwines.com.
Here's a surprising summertime fact from new Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. We all know that irritants like bug bites and poison ivy can make you itch. But what you might not know is how. Actually, it's the histamines your body creates in reaction to these irritants that make you miserable. But now that scratch has met its match. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. Its maximum strength itch medicine blocks your itch-causing histamines fast for long-lasting relief. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. The relief you've been itching for. Use as directed.
Hi there, it is Frank, and I need the attention of everybody who lives in St. Louis or St. Charles counties. Sorry, Illinois. Can't help you yet with this. Matheny Heating and Cooling. And I also need your attention if you are, if you have a home or if you have a business. Certainly if you have both. Because I'm going to recommend a company to you that will take care of your heating and cooling needs from now on. And you will never need to call anybody else. You'll never want to call anybody else. This is the 71st year for Matheny Heating and Cooling. They have a fantastic reputation. And that's what happens when your prices are fair, when you're courteous, you know, and when you know what you're doing and you don't charge people for things they didn't need to be charged for. Or better yet, what a lot of these companies do, try to get you to put a new heating and cooling system in when you don't really need one. Ooh, that's the worst offense. Matheny Heating and Cooling, their 71st year this year. Please tell them your AM and the PM. I know many of you have, and we appreciate that. Don't worry about what size your unit is, what model, what make. It doesn't matter how big your house or business is or how small. They'll take great care of you. You want to know more? Go to their website, MatheneyHeatingAndCooling.com.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. As always, that means that after the 5 o'clock news, I will be back with your chance to play along with the Harris Challenge. Today, you're playing for tickets to see Jim Jefferies, a terrific comedian, at the Pageant next weekend, and El Monstero at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater the weekend after that. All that coming up, plus your chance to catch up with Mike Evans and Knuckleheads in the News. The 5 o'clock hour of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon is straight ahead here on the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
Honey, we need to talk.
Uh-oh.
This kitchen's got to go.
Why? What do you mean?
The cabinets are old, the tile's cracked, the chip from Formica countertop with that metal edge that snags everything.
But I just...
And it's too small.
But sweetie, I called Callier and Thompson Kitchens and Baths yesterday. They'll be out this afternoon. Oh.
Kellyer and Thompson Kitchens and Baths. They're famous for returned phone calls, itemized estimates, and employees who show up when they're supposed to. Be it a large or small project, Kellyer and Thompson offers the highest quality and professionalism in the business. With more certified kitchen and bath designers on staff than any other firm in the area, their designers are on the leading edge of industry trends. Kellyer and Thompson, next to Uncle Bill's on Manchester Road, just east of 141, can help you reclaim your space.
I'm glad we had this little talk. Now about your man cave.
But call Kellyer and Thompson Kitchens and Baths for a free estimate. 636-391-9099. That's 636-391-9099. View their portfolio at KellyerandThompson.com.
On the show, we made a list of all the things you should try to see before you die, like a bucket list. Because you got to see the Grand Canyon. Everybody should see Las Vegas. You should go to Rocky Mountains, Colorado. You should see the ocean. You should see New York City. Well, if you make a list of stores you absolutely have to visit and walk into in St. Louis, if not at the top of the list, toward the top, Amini's. That's right, Amini's in Chesterfield Valley under the Copper Dome, because there is no other store like it. Yes, there are some other stores that might have some of the things that Amini's has, but this is a most unusual, interesting, fun place to shop and practical place to shop. And, surprisingly to many people, affordable place to shop. Certainly, if you want to spend $30,000 for a pool table, Amini's has that pool table. You want to spend $1,500? They have that pool table, too. 60 different pool tables. They have foosball. They have shuffleboard. They have pinball. They have home theater furniture. They have accent pieces and patio furniture and a Jaffe lighting department. You get the idea? Don't go in there and only give yourself 5 minutes. You're cheating yourself. Go into Amini's and walk the place. It is flat out fun. Amini's, nothing like it. Aminis. Chesterfield Valley, the Boone's Crossing exit off Highway 40, or 64 if you prefer to call it that, aminis.com.
There's no better way to honor our nation's birthday and freedom than heading to the lake with your friends, enjoying a weekend of camping with the family, or hosting a backyard barbecue. But don't take advantage of that freedom by driving impaired. Arrange a sober driver, call a cab, or stay where you're celebrating. Law enforcement will be increased throughout the holiday season, and we all know the consequences for driving under the influence are serious. Don't lose your freedom. Celebrate responsibly.
A message from the Missouri Coalition for Roadway Safety.
American Patriot Light. All flavor, all American, and only 102 calories. American Patriot Light. Taking back America one beer at a time. Available at Snook, Shop and Save, Deerbrooks, Mobile on the Run, Circle K's, and you can always find us on Facebook.
Valvoline Motor Oil has all the engine protection you'd ever need in a 50% recycled oil designed specially for today's hotter running engines. Finally, performance meets environment.
KTRS St. Louis. We are our Mizzou.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A dispute over screams at the trial of a man who shot to death Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida.
The defense of George Zimmerman began with his mother, Gladys, who was asked about the 911 call in which someone is heard.